It is really good to be back with you ladies this fall, and Linda gave me the awesome responsibility, thank you, for starting us off in the book of Galatians. So it is my prayer that as we go through the book of Galatians this year, that we will be open to what the Lord has for us. For some of us, Galatians may be new. For some of us, it may be something that we've read a bunch of times, but I can tell you in my studies this summer, the Lord has really revealed to me some things that I didn't see before. So his timing is always perfect. So I'm gonna start us off, and if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and we're gonna read together the whole passage of Galatians that we looked at this week. So I'm going to be reading from the ESV, so if our words don't match exactly, it's okay. So Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the Apostle Paul. God, in his boldness. God, his passion that he has. So God, as we walk through your word together today, God, I pray that you would just have me step out of the way and just allow your spirit to speak through me, God, the words that you would have for us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So last week when Lena introduced us to how to study the Bible, we talked through some questions that we might want to ask when we start reading a book of the Bible. And the first question that we asked was, who wrote it? So fortunately for us, in the book of Galatians, this is an easy find, because sometimes it's not quite so easy to, and we have a couple of books in the Bible that we kind of argue about who wrote it, but in this case, some of the first words that are presented to us are the author of the book of Galatians. And the first words are Paul, an apostle. But Paul doesn't just stop right there. He specifically states that he is, one, not self-appointed, and two, not chosen by man, but by God. If you're not familiar with how Paul was chosen by God, I would encourage you this week, actually you have 2 weeks before we meet again, and we're gonna talk more about Paul and his calling, but let me encourage you to go back and read Acts chapter 8 and 9. Because what you're going to see is Paul's calling by God was pretty, like, amazing in many different ways. In chapter 8 of Acts, Paul goes from, in chapter 8 it says, but Saul, who was Paul's name before God gave him. Anyway, so, but Saul was ravaging the church. In chapter 9, it turns to, after his encounter with God on the road to Damascus, he is proclaiming he is the Son of God, as in Jesus, not Paul. So we'll dig much more into Paul next week, but what I have grown to love about Paul this summer after Linda told me that we were going to be doing Galatians this year, I took the opportunity to read through all the different books of the Bible that Paul has written. And what it did for me was it endeared me to this apostle who is just full of boldness and passion. He can say things in a way that lets you know that you're going off course, but in a way that's full of grace and love. I think it would be very interesting to meet Paul someday, but to know that the apostle that is writing this letter is not, he didn't give himself the job. In fact, he had a different avenue he was taking prior to God calling Paul out. So I think it's very important for us to remember that the author of the letter to the Galatians is Paul, but as in 2 Timothy, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God. So God gave this to Paul to write to the Galatians. So the Galatians, who were they? So the Galatians were a church, as you read this past week, they were a church that was started by Paul and some of his pals. I hope you got the chance to read. Now, this was in your book. It was a part of our reading for this week, to go back and read Acts chapters 13 and 14. Because in those chapters, we see this is post the call of Paul by God, and Paul and some of his pals were together, and they get another calling by God to what they're supposed to do. I loved in 13 and 14 when it says that they, while they were worshiping and fasting, so this is Paul and Barnabas and a few others, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. So then they fasted and they prayed a little bit more and they went off on their journey. They were led by the Holy Spirit where to go, and they were preaching to both Jews and Gentiles. And sometimes this went well, and sometimes it didn't. In the case we have today, the Church of Galatia, which was part of that journey, but sometimes Paul and Barnabas and his pals were confronted with things that most of our church plants today don't get confronted with. Our church plants today, I've been a part of a church plant in the past, we get confronted with things like, oh, you can't have that lease, or oh, the lights aren't working, or oh, they don't want to rent to you, or things like that. Paul and Barnabas, like, they got confronted with things like, you better get out of here. Like, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to beat you up. We're going to do all these things. So it was pretty serious for Paul and Barnabas and his pals as they were going about and planting these churches. They were doing the Lord's work. So they were very passionate about it and very passionate about it being the Lord's work. These churches weren't planted because they felt like, ooh, that's a good place for us to have a church. No, they were planted because that's where God wanted them to be and wanted them to gather the people. So Paul was very passionate about the churches that he had been a part of. So when he hears that one of these churches is already listening to stuff that they're not supposed to be listening to, and I'm not talking about like the bad music or something like that, what they were listening to is false teachers. So when Paul hears that they're listening to false teachers, he is, well, as it says, he is astonished. So astonished. I went back and I thought about that word, astonished. So what does it really mean? It's not a word I use all the time, although I have been using it lately this past week trying to. But in the dictionary, it says greatly surprised or impressed. So then I was thinking, okay, how often do we use astonished? And when we use it, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And so I was Googling, you know, because that's what we do sometimes. And I like what I found. It says, astonished suggests your surprise or sense of wonder is so intense that you are bewildered by it. So intense. So Paul, he was caught off guard by this. Like, look, guys, we had just been there. We had been over this. Like, what? That didn't even come into, why are you adding that to the gospel? So he was very passionate about it. He was astonished at what they were listening to. And he needed to tell them right away, hey, remember the gospel. Remember. You know, I was thinking about astonished. I get astonished over things like, I like to tutor science and math. Love it. I am tutoring someone right now, and we are working on fractions. So for me, I research all these ways, like, how can I be creative and show them how to divide a fraction and write it on, I do it via Zoom, but I found this nice little whiteboard that as I'm writing, like, they can see it, and we can do the problems. And I explain, and we do problems together, and then I say, okay, it's your turn to teach me. And at that point, I'm astonished that they don't know their multiplication tables. Like, apparently they didn't have Mrs. Green and Mrs. Miller like I did. That, like, drilled them. I'm like, okay. And I'm astonished when they don't remember the one thing I'm saying. Okay, when we're dividing a fraction, we have to multiply by the reciprocal. What's the reciprocal again? How many times do I have to say we're dividing by a fraction, we have to multiply by the reciprocal? So, are we getting astonished over things like math? Over things like the lost people in the world are acting like they're lost? Or are we getting astonished over the things that have eternal value? So Paul was astonished because this had eternal value. So what's the eternal significance? The eternal significance is that they were turning away from the gospel. They were turning away from the gospel. And he says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel. So I'm going to take some time and let's talk about what the gospel is, because I think it's so important. So I want to back up a few verses in what we read from Paul. In verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what I see in those verses. Grace and peace are from God. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave himself to deliver us from the present evil. And this was done according to the will of God. This was for his glory. So I really wrestled with this, and I didn't want to in any way distort the gospel for you today. So I want to read some more scripture, and let's look at what the scripture says about the gospel. In Ephesians, it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. These are the keys I see. We were dead in our sins. Because of God's great love for us, this was his will. By grace, which is from God, we have been saved through faith. It is not of our own doing. I'm going to repeat that again. It is not of our own doing. Not a result of works, anything that we are doing or don't do, or it is not of our own doing. Last week, Linda talked about creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. So I wanted to expand upon that a little bit even more today, because I think it's just so important for us to understand. Creation. God created everything from nothing. It's not like baking a cake. There was nothing. He created everything, and that included man. Man was created in the image of God. It comes directly from Genesis 1:27. God breathed life into man. That's Genesis 2:7. And God put man in the garden to work and keep it. But he told man that he could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. An encounter with a serpent occurred, and man was tempted to eat from the tree, and man fell to that temptation, and sin and death entered the world, the fall. It says, therefore, in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. So this is bad news, right? But God already had a plan. In Genesis 3:15, God promises that a victor is coming that will crush the head of the serpent. That victor is Jesus. Jesus humbled himself. He came to earth as a man, lived a sin-free life, and died at the hands of those he loved and came to save. But he did not stay dead. I love this, Jackie. What does it say? God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. So he's not dead. He's alive. Restoration. Jesus is coming back, and he's bringing us the fullness of restoration. I don't know when that is, but I know that we're one day closer today than we were yesterday. And I feel that sense of urgency. So if you are unsure of what that looks like, let me encourage you. Take your Bible, turn to the back, Revelation 21 and 22. It's pretty awesome. So when we really begin to grapple with the gospel and what it truly is, we may think, okay, I know this. Why does she keep saying this over and over? But I want us to be aware that these little lies, like the Galatians believed, they creep in so easily. And like our friends, the Galatians, I think sometimes we fall for it. We don't even know it. I don't think we're going to be like the Galatians and say, think that circumcision then was required to be a part of the body of Christ. Okay, we might not fall for that. That's easy to spot. But things like, do we ever fall for the gospel plus baptism? The gospel plus church membership? The gospel plus evidence of fruit in someone's life? The gospel plus they don't struggle with a sin anymore? The gospel plus they can kick that addiction? The gospel plus they raise their kids to be strong believers? I know you're looking at me thinking, I have never said those words. And I haven't either. But I have found myself in conversations with people where I might not have said the gospel plus, but I might have said something like, I don't see fruit in that person's life. Or I don't see, I had a conversation with someone I very much love, very much love recently, and he said, I don't see enough fruit. And I was like, where does it say that? I said that to this person who I love very much. I was like, it doesn't say enough fruit is what we need for salvation. The gospel is about what Jesus did, what he did for us. The gospel, okay? When we add things to the gospel, Even in our thoughts, like you'll find, I find myself sometimes even making, well, okay, so they've accepted Christ, and now I need them to do this, this, and this. Is it something that we need to see? Is it something that we're beating ourselves up over? Like sometimes I'm a very performance-based person. Part of my testimony is that I was just sharing my story yesterday. Someone asked me to share my story, and I remember when I was a little kid, and I always grew up in church. And in the directory at our church, all the families were listed in the back, and they listed the mom and the dad and the kids. Well, in that directory, they would put a star beside those who were Sunday school members only, which meant I had a star by my name because I had not given my life to Christ. I had not come forward. And let me tell you, as a 12-year-old, that really wrecked me. It really bothered me because I'm like, wow. But I set out to prove, like, well, I'm a good, like, I know who God is. I know Jesus. Like, I am the goody two-shoes. I was the one in my family that didn't get in trouble. My brothers were the ones that took care of that for our family. Like, I'm very performance-based. And it wasn't till I realized when I was 15 years old that I was trying to do my life without God. That I was trying to perform to be so that people would think, oh, she's a Christ follower because look, she does all the good. She's on the leadership team. She helps with the preschool. She does all this. But it wasn't about what I did. The gospel is not about what we do. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and what he has done. So, why is it so dangerous when we add things to the gospel or when we let these false teachings slip in? Well, Paul says, I love Paul here again, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, which is the very next verse. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. As if it wasn't serious enough the first time he said it, he made sure we get it. Let me say it again, right away. Let me say it again, right away. This is serious. The gospel is serious. Why? Why? Because there is no other gospel. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel is free. I think we sometimes have trouble accepting gifts. Does anyone have trouble accepting gifts? I have trouble accepting gifts because then I think, ooh, okay, do I need to get this person a gift? Do I need to write a thank you card? Did I write a thank you card? I don't remember if I wrote a thank you card. I was thinking about this as I was getting ready this morning. And sometimes we may think, well, the gifts that person gives aren't great. My grandmother, I loved her to death. She was a terrible gift giver. She was terrible. When I was in high school, she would buy things like a collared sweatshirt with cardinals on it that was about two sizes too small. Bunnies. It was not good, but bless her heart, it wasn't about what the gift was. Like, she wanted to go out and buy something for us. And I remember one of the last gifts I got is this necklace that she gave me that wasn't even a gift that she had picked out. It was actually a gift my grandfather had picked out for her, and after he passed, she gave each of the grandkids something that he had given or had been his, and that was very special. So sometimes we think, well, the gift, I don't like the gift, or I don't know what to do with the gift, or I'm not deserving of the gift. Okay, guys, none of us are deserving. We're all sinners. But in God's will, for his glory, he sent his son for you. Accept the gift. There is nothing that you have to do to perform or be deserving of the gift. It is a gift to you. It's available to all. It's free. It is not invented by man. It is revealed by God. To try and take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very serious offense. And if you don't know the seriousness of that enough, let me propose three things. Why is it so serious? Because these things are at stake. Christ's glory. God receives the glory. It's all his. And when we turn the gospel into something that we do, or we make these things, it turns the glory away from God into us. And the glory is his. He did the work. Another thing that is at stake are people's souls. People's lives are at stake. We are not promised tomorrow. Like we just heard this morning, we are not promised tomorrow. There are people out there walking around that are dead. And I'm not talking like zombies Halloween time. I'm talking they're spiritually dead. The gospel is for them. The gospel brings life. Remember, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the other thing is the health of the church. When we interject things into the gospel or elevate things that are, they're not as important as the gospel, but that brings division within the church. And that's when the enemy starts having a heyday, because anytime he can bring a little lie that they can take, and I'm just gonna tear you, I'm gonna tear you apart from you, and I'm gonna do all my dividing. So it's very important for us to remember what the gospel is and not to interject things into it, because life is at stake. So my prayer for us as a group is that we will know, show, and proclaim the gospel of Christ, that we will hold each other accountable. Just like that conversation I said I had with someone I love dearly, when I heard that gospel plus sneaking in, hold each other accountable. That's what we're here for, right? That's what our small groups. We can love, we can pray, and we can hold each other accountable. So, I would love to say, let's pray right here, but I did want to end with this. That when I was preparing for our time together and read Galatians 1, 1 through 10, verse 10 kind of stuck out to me, and so I kind of ignored it for a little bit, but I'm going to close with it. It says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So I think for me, I tried to ignore this verse because I really struggled with this, approval of man. I was even struggling when I walked in, Linda said, "Oh, you look cute." And I'm thinking, well, this is the same blouse I wore last year because it's my favorite fall blouse and it's the first day of fall and I feel good in it. So if I'm gonna stand in front of people, I'm gonna wear it. And the Holy Spirit gently reminded me, don't miss it. So I'm going to end back in the beginning of Paul's words that we read earlier. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. God, you are awesome. and we just give you praise and glory. We say thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he did. God, I don't always understand how this all happened, but I know that it's in your will, and we are a part of your plan, and we say thank you. So I pray that as we dive deeper into the book of Galatians, that we will keep the gospel of Jesus Christ at the center. In Jesus' name, amen.